Radio, where you are now listening
Log Talk
to
Radio.
Again, we'd like to welcome you to Breaking Beyond the Walls and Nothing But the Truth. Breaking Beyond the Walls is hosted by our own evangelist, Yvonne Hosey, and Nothing But the Truth is hosted by yours truly, Pastor Katie Pierce. And on tonight, we're going to be talking about a couple of things. When we're talking about nothing but the truth, we want to look at some things concerning our eye gate. Concerning our eye gate. If I can just welcome you again to listening in with us. Welcome so much. Our host, Yvonne Hosey, unfortunately is not available on this evening, but we do look forward to having her back with us prayerfully on next week. Nothing but the truth is something that's going to bring you nuggets of God's truth to encourage you in your walk with God. There are nuggets that are going to help to strengthen you and encourage you. And on Sunday, we had ministered to our congregation, Truth Deliverance Ministry. We ministered to them on the subject topic of viewer discretion advised. Viewer discretion advised. And we came from a scripture in the book of Matthew, the 6th chapter, starting with verse 22 and verse 23, those of you who may have your Bibles. Matthew, 6th chapter, verse 22 and verse 23. We're going to be reading that scripture to you momentarily. Amen. Amen. We're going to give you an opportunity to get your Bible and give you an opportunity to get settled with us. And also give those of you who need an opportunity to call in, That would be area code 213-943-3799. Amen. 213-943-3799. Amen. Hallelujah, God. Hallelujah, God. So we're going to start and open up with the word of prayer. Going to open up with the word of prayer. Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ, God, we come now before your sight and before your presence, oh God. We come now, oh God, acknowledging that you are God and above you there is none other, Father. We just thank you, oh Lord God, for being God. We thank you, oh God, for being he that rules and super rules the heavens and the earth, oh Lord God. We thank you, oh Father God, for being Abba Father. We thank you, oh Lord God, for being the Lord God, our protector, oh Lord God. We thank you, oh Lord God, for being he, oh Father God, who watches over us both day and night. We thank you, O Lord God, for your angels that are encamped about us, O Lord God, to keep us from all hurt, harm, and danger. We thank you, Father God, for your Holy Spirit that's our teacher, O Lord God. We thank you even now in the name of Jesus Christ, O Lord God. We praise your holy and your divine name, O God, for truly you are worthy of the praise. Truly you are worthy of the glory, and truly you are worthy of the honor. Oh, God, we magnify you the more and the more and the more, oh, Lord God. Ah, God, we thank you that you are the author and the finisher of our faith, oh, God, and that he who hath begun a good work in us will finish it till the day of redemption. God, we bless you on tonight, oh, Lord God. We thank you, oh, Lord God. We thank you, oh, Lord God, that no good thing with you withhold from us when we walk upright before you, God. Oh, Father, we just thank you, God. We thank you. Oh, Lord God, that your word says that everywhere our feet try, peace and prosperity will follow us, oh, Lord God. We thank you, God. We thank you, God, that you are our shepherd and we shall not want, oh, Lord God. And yea, though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, hallelujah, we don't have to fear no evil, for you are with us. Your rod and your staff, they comfort us, O Lord God. Oh, God, how we thank you and how we praise you, O Lord God. We magnify your holy and your divine name, for truly you are worthy to be praised. So we just magnify you, God, and we thank you, O Lord God. We thank you, O Father, for Jesus is our Savior. Jesus is our Lord, and we thank you and we bless your name. Hallelujah. So now, God, open our eyes that we may behold wonderful things out of your law. Then help us, O God, that we may apply that given word to our everyday lives, that you will be glorified in everything we do and in everything we say. In the mighty, matchless name of Jesus, we pray and count it as done by faith. It is so, and so it is. Amen and amen and amen. Amen. And that prayer gave our own first host, Evangelist Hosey, time enough to get here. And I'm going to relinquish the mic over to her, and please hear her as she comes. Amen.
Bless the Lord, bless the Lord. On today, today we're going to be focusing on, and we thank Pastor Pierce for that prayer. And today I just want you all to know that we're going to be focusing on the word focus, retraining our thoughts on today, putting our thoughts in its proper place. And today we're going to be coming from the book Romans 12 and 2. If you don't mind, grab your Bibles real quick. We're going to be coming from Romans 12 and 2. Romans 12 and 2. And it says, "Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is and what his good and pleasing and perfect will looks like." That's Romans 12 and 2. And then if you don't mind, I want you all to, I want you to turn over to the book of Peter, 1 Peter. We're going to look at 1 Peter, I believe it's 1 Peter 14. I want to say 1 Peter 14 and 1, or I think it's 1 Peter 1 and 14. Please excuse me. 1 Peter 1 and 14. That's where I want you to turn to. 1 Peter 1. And let's start at the verse 13. It says, "Therefore, with minds that are alert and fully sober, set your hope on the grace to be brought to you when Jesus Christ is revealed at his coming. And as obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you have had when you lived in ignorance. But just as he who called you is holy, so be ye holy in all that you do, for it is written, be holy because I am holy." And on today we're talking about focusing, transforming your mind, renewing your mindset. And the scripture that I just read, 1 Peter 1 and 4, 13 and 14, and it says, simply mentally alert and disciplined, fully sober and focused, set your hope. And on today, we're just talking about transforming the mind and renewing your mindset. And we have to know that he is a God of mercy and justice who cares personally for each of his followers. You must know that your thoughts will always determine your destiny. So wherever your thoughts are, whatever you think about, you need to know that whatever your thoughts are will determine your destiny. And the question I want to ask you today is, what does your everyday actions and thoughts represent? And not only that, what does your thoughts and your action look like on a daily basis? That's a question that I want you to ask yourself and begin to look at that thing. And if it's not lining up with the will of God, for the Bible says, let this mind be in you that's also in Christ Jesus. So we're talking about the renewing of your mind. And on today, I just want you to know that whatever your thoughts look like, that determines your destiny. And you need to know that even if you're trying to hide your thoughts, it's not even an option. So, you know, eventually whatever you harbor in the innermost quarters of your thought life will sooner or later reveal itself in the outer arena of your present experience. I want you to look at the scripture, 1 Corinthians 4 and 5, where it says, God will both bring to light the secret things that are now hidden in darkness and disclose and expose the secret aims and motives of the purpose of your heart. And that just simply says that whatever you even try and think about and try and hide from others and try and hide from God, you need to know that God says that whatever it is, he can see it and he knows. He knows what your thought is. He knows what your heart is saying without your mouth moving. But the Bible says that what's in the heart will sooner or later come out the mouth. It's like planting a seed underground in darkness. To know that whatever that seed is, sooner or later, it's going to come up from out of the ground. So that's our thought process. The same thing, whatever we're thinking, we need to know that it's going to come to the surface. Because what's in the heart will sooner or later come out of the mouth. And so we're talking about if your thought process is not of God, and if it's not even the image of what God has created, we're talking about transforming your mind and not allowing your thoughts to control you, not allowing the thoughts that's not of God to lead you into deception. And that we know that that's the enemy's playground, your mind. Your mind and your thought process is the enemy's playground. And we have to be careful not to allow our thoughts to linger or allow our thoughts to go out and play, if I can say it in that in that term. We can't allow our thought process to go out and play and have fun. If it's not of God, it ain't right. He said, be ye holy, for I am holy. And that's even with your thoughts and your action. That's where the question came from. What does your thoughts and your action represent, and what do they look like on a daily basis? I want you to know that in transforming your mind, you have to know that you must guard what you allow into your mind, that you allow into your mind, and purposefully choose what to focus your thoughts on. And I just said that if it's not of God, it ain't right. So, you know, let's put our mindset in the proper place. Let's begin to allow God to transform my mind. We have to also know that our soul, you know, this is a time to eliminate distractions and destructive mindsets, you know, and how do we do that? We fast from negativity. We get away from this life-sapping thought pattern and creating new habits and feasting on positive. On positivity, feasting on what God would have us to do, feasting on what our purpose is in life, feasting on what is it that God wants us to do in this life and this journey. Find out what that positive mindset looks like. For so long, I know that some of us we've tried to do it our way. We try, you know, whatever we think is my thoughts. No, it's not your thoughts. It's not your thoughts. You don't belong to yourself, not even your mind, you know, not even your heart. It belongs to the Lord. But the Bible says until you receive the new heart, your heart is deceiving. It'll trick you, and the enemy will take that and run with it. And then you'll find yourself being deceived. You'll find yourself not only being deceived, but being deceptive. So, you know, we have to transform our mind and begin to fast from destruction and distractions and begin to create a positive pattern that looks like Christ, that transform in your mind. We also have to begin new life-changing habits, and we have to. There's a scripture that says, whatever things is true, whatsoever things is honorable, whatever thing is right, whatever thing is pure, whatever thing is lovely, whatever thing is good, if there is any excellence and if anything worthy of praise, dwell on those things. And here it is, God is saying again, you know, this is where I want your mindset. And if your mindset is the opposite of any of those things that I just named, you need to transform your mind. You need to look at that thing and say, okay, I need to get rid of this. I need to get rid of that. If it's not lining up with God, it's not lining up with that scripture, we got to get rid of it. And God is saying that, you know, you were born to recreate. You were created to recreate. Let this mind be in you. That's also in Christ Jesus. God is calling us forth to begin to live and live authentically. For so long, some of us, we've lived, you know, an authentic life. And God is saying, it's time to come away from the lies. It's time to come away from the deception. It's time to come away from being deceived. It's time to come away from being a liar. It's time to come away from being an adulteress. It's time to live authentic. How can I live authentic? Well, the word authentic means being true to who you are, aligning your every thought and action with who and what you were created to be and do. Living an authentic life. Who are you? Who do you belong to? Who lives on the inside of you? Because whatever lives on the inside of you, believe me, that's what you're representing. Whatever it is, even if it's not God, you need to know that that's what you're representing. And you have to ask yourself, is it authentic or is it unauthentic? Is it true or is it false? That's how it is, true or false, you know, a lie or the truth. You know, it's no in between there. And God is saying on today, transforming our minds is necessary. And if it's not of him, it is like mandatory. So I'm going to turn you back over into the hands of Pastor Katie Pierce. The Nothing But the Truth. That's what it is, talking about the truth. So I'm going to turn you back over into the hands. I pray that you receive something on today, and God bless you as she comes.
All right, praise God, praise God. We do bless him as you are being patient with us doing some transitioning here in what has become our studio. Hallelujah, praise Jesus. And we do praise and thank God for it. Again, we wanted to pick up with our sermon topic from Sunday. Our sermon topic from Sunday had to do with viewer discretion advised. And I'm contemplating having this as a series. We just completed a series at Truth Deliverance called Please Don't Feed the Animals. Don't feed the animals. And we begin to talk about some of the animals that we feed. And one of the animals that we feed is the animal of distraction. And I thought it was ironic that Minister Evangelist Hosey came on tonight and talked about how you have to learn how to focus. We have to learn how to focus. But picking back up with our scripture, we were looking in Matthew, the 6th chapter, starting with the 22nd verse and the 23rd verse. The 22nd verse specifically says, the light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thine whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thine whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great that darkness is. Amen. And another translation that I like said, the eye is the lamp of the body. This is the easy version, the easy reading version, ESV version, Matthew 6 and 22. The eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. And viewer discretion advice came from my viewing of the Hulu that I thought was God-given and found out that it, it wasn't. And so I was watching a movie. It started off like many other movies and many other television series that we watch. It started off really, really easy to the eye, and I was like, okay, I'm all right. And then it started doing little snippets of things that was questionable. And I said, oh, okay, I'll keep watching. And then it do something else that was a little more, you know, questionable. And I don't know about that, but I kept watching. And then it got to a point where it did something that was all flat out, just like the devil is a lie. And I realized that I needed to stop watching it. But when I escaped out of it, I noticed that there was something on the screen that said, viewer discretion is advised. And so when we think about that, when we think about our life, even as Christians, what we see, what we take in through the eye gate can have a detrimental effect on our spiritual being. And we take it so lightly, the things that we see. That's why the pornographic things is a multi-billion dollar industry, because they know that once they get you to see it and get you connected to it, they actually got you addicted to it, and then you can't stop watching. And so that's why we have to really, really mind the gate of our eyes. We have to mind that gate, in that we're not taking in things that's going to prove to be detrimental to our spiritual being. And so it says that if your eye, my God, if the eye, the lamp of the eye, if the eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is healthy, that right there is a pause. If your eye is healthy, how healthy is your eye? What is it that you've been viewing? What is it that you've been looking at? I shared with them on Sunday at TDM. I was telling them about how I started watching a lot of TV series. I started off watching Grey's Anatomy. Grey's Anatomy was great. It started off, it was good. And then all of a sudden, it took a left turn down Buffalo-ville. And next thing I knew, I saw two women kissing. I'm like, what the world? And I understood that what they were doing was trying to play on my mental, moral state. And mentally, they were trying to, try to navigate my mind to morally say, this is acceptable. When the Bible plainly says that it's not. They were trying to desensitize me morally to say, oh, okay, that wasn't that bad, that's acceptable. And I had to begin at that particular moment, I had to say whether or not viewer discretion was going to be utilized, or was I going to keep watching and feeding my flesh? My flesh that was going to become rotten and stinky, come on somebody, from watching something that's not of God. My flesh that was going to be fed and that was going to be turned away from God if I kept letting my eye watch and behold this thing that was not conducive, nor was it bringing healthiness, if you will, to the word of God. And so we have to make a decision. Will your eye remain healthy? Will you remain watching that which is going to be a detriment? Or will you say to yourself, this is not of God, I need to turn away from this thing? And so as we begin to look at this, or as we begin to look at all the other ones, you get that's the MO of all the TV shows. They start off real light. Well, some of them do. Unless they're, of course, the ones that just want to be all-out catchiness. They want to use that shock theory. Because when I started watching, what's the latest one that come, that's getting ready to come on now? No, not Scandal. The other one. The other one with the TV actors and the, you're still not helping me. Hosey's sitting there looking at me like I just said something foreign. But with Cookie, y'all know who Cookie is. When that one started off, it started off raunchy. Empire. It started off raunchy. I was like, okay, I'm going to try to watch this. It came on. Two men was in the bed. Pump the brakes. I can't watch this. Okay? And so we have to begin to understand that the enemy subtly plays with us through the things that we see. He plays with our mind through the things that we see. And the Bible specifically says, as Evangelist Hosey just finished, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. And the renewing of your mind has a direct connection with the eye gate. Oh, my God, to glory. A direct connection. What you see plays a direct effect on your mindset. And so we have to put an angel at guard over our minds. And even not only what you see on TV, but what you see when you're reading. When you're reading, if you're reading stories, you know, we love to read love stories. I'm a person, the Hallmark Channel is my friend because I'm a sucker for a love story. I love to see people happy and the girl gets the guy and things of that nature. Those are the things. And so we love to read that in books as well. But what are you reading? What are you reading? What is your eye beholding? That word is a lamp unto my feet and a light. There's that light again, and a light unto my path. So what the word of God is what we need to be taking in. I just wanted to read another scripture to you, if I will. And I'm trying to be technological here, so please forgive me if I'm taking a little long, because this is not my forte, but I'm trying to use my laptop. If Minister Bethel is on the phone, she would be so proud of me. Okay, Psalms 101:3. It says this, I will not set before my eyes anything that is worthless. I hate the work of those who fall away, and it shall not cling to me. Ah, so what is that saying, Pastor? I'm so glad you asked that question. What that saying is that I won't watch anything or take on anything that's not going to glorify God. So now my daughter, whom I love dearly, she doesn't like it when I say things like, I had to stop watching Scandal. Why? Because it was worthless. I had to stop watching Grey's Anatomy. Why? Because it was worthless. These are things that are worthless. And it says in Psalms, again, in the scripture, Psalms 101:3, it says, I would not set before my eyes anything that is worthless. I hate the work of those who fall away. If I'm watching things that are worthless, it can cause me to fall away. It can desensitize my spiritualness. It can desensitize my discernment. It can desensitize. And we're wondering, why aren't there miracles in the church? Because everybody trying to see what's the scandal. Yes, tight, but it's right. And so we have to begin to look at that. We have to begin to make sure that we haven't set things before our eyes that are worthless. We have to make sure we haven't set things in our ear gates. The music that we listen to, all of these are gates. Your eyes, your ears, they're gates. Your taste, it's a gate. These are gateways to what? To your spirit man. And it can cause your spirit man to become desensitized to the things of the spirit realm. And so we have to be careful. Psalms 20:12 says, the hearing ear and the seeing eye, the Lord has made them both. God didn't make your eyes to behold perversion. He didn't make your ears to listen to perversion. You know, I was sitting in a car next to somebody at a store, and they had on some rap music, and all they was doing was calling women female dogs. And I it was like, ooh, it stung me, literally. It stung me. And all I could do was turn and gasp at the fact that this young man was listening to this. And it made me think about, how does he entreat his mother? How does he entreat his sister? Because he's listening to this. And whether he realizes or not, it's making him sensitive to his moral obligation to respect and honor his mother. Oh, my God, to glory. We have to be careful, saints of God. We have to be careful what we take in. We have to be careful what we're looking at. And so as we begin to think on the scripture in Luke 11, the 11th chapter, verse 33 through 36, pretty much says the same thing that Matthew says. But we have to begin to look at the fact, what is it that I am allowing my eyes to see? And we say, oh, it's fine. It's not that big of a deal. But Playboy magazine became an empire because of the fact somebody liked to see it. And they got them addicted to it. And if you read and begin to study and look at it, they kept looking at that till it got to a point where that wasn't raunchy enough. And so Hustler magazine came out. Oh, y'all, come on, don't act like y'all got saved just yesterday. Yeah, Hustler magazine, and it was more raunchy than Playboy. And then it got to a point where people began to go and do other things. Why? Because they was trying to feed the monster that was growing on the inside of them. From what? From what their eyes had beheld. So what is it that you see? What is it that you're allowing yourself to look at, to behold? And can you behold something that's perverted and then say, behold the beauty of the Lord? Come on now. What are you looking at? What are you looking at that's causing perversion in your life? Oh, my God, to glory. What are you looking at? And we also know that even in our everyday lives, when we look at women and how provocatively that they dress, why are they dressing so provocative? Because they're trying to get somebody to see them, and they're trying to affect them through their sight. Now, we, of course, know that in the book of James, he says that when you're carried away, don't say that you were tempted of God. He said because you were carried away with your own lust. Sometimes the thing, the majority of the time, what we see can stir up a lust demon. It can stir up the lust that in us. Now, it's up to us whether or not we cast down the imagination, because our eye has formed an imagination in our mind, and we've got to cast that down. Come on, somebody. Cast that down, or we can begin to play patty cake with it. What is it that you're going to do? My God, to glory. What is it that you're going to do? How is it that you're going to begin to turn that monster down? How is it that you're going to begin to cast out that imagination? So we've got to learn how to feed our spirit. Again, we've got to learn how to feed our spirit. How? I've already stated that the way you're going to feed your spirit is that you're going to have to let God's word become a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your path. The scripture also talks about, be patient with me. I'm trying to scroll up on the laptop. The Bible talks about in Luke 11:33-36, it says, no one after lighting a lamp puts it in a cellar or under a basket, but on a stand, so that those who see it may see the light. Your eye is the lamp of your body. And when your eye is healthy, your whole body is full of light. So are we radiant of the light of God, or are we radiant and our light isn't being seen of men because we've tainted it with the things of the world? I've often ministered to those, and I said that, you know, our Christianity can be indicative of a light and its voltage, and we know, or its wattage. We know when we go and buy lights, it depends on how bright you want the light. Your lights in your kitchen are brighter than the light that you would put in your living room, and your light in your refrigerator, of course, is more dull than the light that you would put in the kitchen. Your lights on your lamp, you get the message. And so we use different wattages for different things that we want to do. Well, God says, I need for you to be a light that can be viewed of men, that men can see your light even from afar, and they'll know to come to the light. What kind of light are you shining? What's the wattage? Are you a 40-watt? Are you a 100-watt? What kind of wattage are you? And are you drawing in those lost souls for Christ? Can they see you? Can they see you? And is what they're seeing, is it really, really clear? And so we have to begin to look at the fact that we're the light of the world, and that we're the ones that people need to see and people need to know that Christ lives in you. In Matthew 5:29, it says, If your right eye causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it down, for it is better for you to lose one of your members than the whole body be thrown into hell. What is that saying? That's saying that, you know, if your eyes are beholding, or if your eyes are causing you to sin, it's really better for you to just pluck out your eye. Now, you've got something that you can do even better. You can just stop watching that thing that's causing you to sin. Stop watching that. It's better to stop watching that stuff. I remember when that 50 Shades of Grey came out, how excited people were to go and watch Perversion. Come on, somebody. They were excited to go and watch Perversion. God had to deal with me because I watched Scandal for at least like the 3 series until it got raunchy, and then the Lord began to quicken me and say, what are you watching? You're rooting for a woman to break up a home. Because in the back of my mind, way in the back of my mind, I kind of wanted Olivia. Yeah, I'm a rooting for you, Livy. Yeah, but that's talking about an adulterous relationship. My eye had begun to offend me, and I had a choice to pluck it out or to cut off that which my eye was seeing that was not bringing glory and honor to the Lord. Oh, we could go on and on. I could sit here and name all of the things that I know what God is doing to me or what he's quickening me by his Holy Spirit. But what is he quickening you with? What is your eye beholding that's not bringing glory and honor to God? What is your eye beholding that's desensitizing you to the moral obligation that you have to the Lord God, our Savior, to Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior? What is your eye beholding that you're saying, oh, that's not that bad? That's not that bad. I'm trying to think of the scripture that talks about the little foxes. It talks about the little foxes and how the little foxes can do great damage. So that thing that you're causing and you're saying it's a little thing, it's not that bad. It's all right. No major. No major. No biggie. That little thing can cause great harm. And so as we prepare to finish up our lesson on today, we ask that you would allow the Holy Spirit to begin to quicken you, of some things that you are taking in with your eye. Begin to ask the Holy Spirit to strengthen you in your sense of discernment so that you will know what's that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Begin to ask the Holy Spirit to quicken you to the things that you're taking in that you shouldn't be taking in. Begin to ask the Holy Spirit to do a quick work in you so that you will become strengthened with all might. That you'll become strengthened with all might so that we can get to a place in God whereas we'll begin to see things. Have you ever wondered why is it that we can't see the enemy, or we can't see into the spirit realm, you know, the way we should, that we can't see angels ascending and descending? Is it because we've seen so much negative stuff, that we've seen so much perverted stuff, that we've seen so much accursed stuff, that we've become desensitized and we can't see in the spirit realm the way we should? I adjure you, today, along with myself, that we will begin to get in the presence of God so that he can open our eyes, that we can behold wonderful things. Open our eyes so that we can begin to see into the spirit realm. Open our eyes, O Lord God, that we will see things in the manner of which you see them. Oh, Father, we come repenting on today because we've allowed our eye gate to behold some things that were not of you. We allowed our eye gate to bring things into our mindset, God, that has caused us to be off kilter, if you will, in the spirit realm. We repent on today, God, because even when our eye gate brought it to our mindset, we didn't cast down the imagination the way we should. God, we come on tonight, God, repenting. Repenting, oh Lord God. And asking, oh Father, that you would begin to cleanse us with hyssop. Purge us, oh Lord God. That we might be clean, God. Wash us. That we might become whiter than snow. So, Father, we repent. Father, we repent. And we just need you to put us in right standing with you, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, Satan, the Lord rebuke you. The Lord rebuke you, every foul and evil spirit, every spirit of lust that has found its place in us. We rebuke you now and we plead the blood of Jesus. We command you to go in Jesus' name. Lust and perversion, go now in Jesus' name. No place and no authority. We release and we relinquish these things unto you. And we command them to go in Jesus' name. We relinquish, O Lord God, our right, O Lord God. And we come to you as yielded vessels, O God. Yielded vessels, O God. Have your way in us now, Father. In the name of Jesus, have your way in us now, Father. Have your way in us now, Father. In the mighty, matchless name of Jesus Christ, have your way in us, O God, that if there be any guile or any unclean thing in us, God, cleanse it. Cleanse it now. So, Father, we receive your forgiveness. We receive your forgiveness now, God, in the name of Jesus Christ. We receive your forgiveness, O Lord God, and we just thank you and praise you the more and the more and the more. Hallelujah. Now, God, we stand on your word in 1 John 1 and 9, that if we confess our sins, hallelujah, God. If we confess our sins, you're just and faithful to forgive us of our sins. You're just and faithful to forgive us of our sins. And you will cleanse us of all unrighteousness. So we thank you, God, that we've been cleansed through and through. Hallelujah. Now we can come boldly to the throne of grace and obtain mercy in the time of need. Oh, God, I bless you. Oh, God, I love you so much. You are great and you are an awesome God. Hallelujah, Jesus. So we thank you now that it is so. And so it is in Jesus' mighty name, all of God's people saying amen and amen and amen again. Well, we thank you so much for joining us on tonight. We appreciate those of you who had an opportunity to join in with us on tonight. We're just looking at those numbers who have called in. We can see you on the line and on our blog talk. We appreciate you. We welcome you once again to email us with your questions or topics that you wish to discuss. You can email Nothing But the Truth and Pastor Katie Pierce at Truth Deliverance Ministry at yahoo.com or Evangelist Hosey and Breaking Beyond the Walls at yahoo.com. We try to make it as simple as we possibly can. So please email us with your subjects. Email us if you need prayer. Email us if this was a life change for you and you found yourself in a place of repentance and you just want to share a tidbit of your testimony. Email us and let us know what happened. Also, be sure to look us up on Facebook. Look us up on Facebook, Truth Deliverance Ministry on Facebook. You can message us on Facebook and let us know that you prayed with me and God delivered me from some things. I gave up some things. Whatever your testimony is, share it with us, would you please? So Facebook us or email us, and we look forward to hearing from you with your testimonies. Again, join us on next Tuesday night. We'll be starting at 7 o'clock from 7 to 7. We'll be Breaking Beyond the Walls, followed by Nothing But the Truth with Pastor Katie Pierce. So on tonight, Evangelist Hosey and myself, we pray that God's best and God's riches be yours. Until next week, God bless you. Bye-bye.